This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Heplin. The story of the desegregation of Little Rock Central High School by 9 African-American students is well known, but overshadowed is the desegregation in the following years of the city's junior high schools in 1961 and 62. A new book aims to share the personal stories of many of those 25 young people and what they went through. One of the students was Dr. Laverne Bell-Tolliver, who edited this book called The First 25. Another of the students was Dr. Kenneth Jones. Both join me in the studio now. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having us.
Dr. Bell-Tolliver, first tell me how this book came about.
Well, actually, my mother asked me many years ago before she passed away to write a book about my story of desegregating Forest Heights Junior High School, which was one of the five schools that were desegregated in 1961 and 62. And later I became a faculty member here at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, and very shortly after joined the Chancellor's Committee on Race and Ethnicity under the direction of then Chancellor Joel Anderson. He became aware of the fact that I had desegregated the schools and a couple of times asked me to tell my story. He did so, and later someone else asked me to have coffee with them, Dr. Vicki Lynn. From that became an article, and later on I realized that it was important enough for all of the students that did that desegregation process to have a chance to allow their voices to be heard. So a book was born.
Yeah, and how did you go about putting this together? It's mainly a collection of oral interviews.
Yes, as a part of being on leave for a semester from the school, thanks to UA Little Rock, I was able to locate all of the 18 persons who are in this book. There were a number of people that were aware of their locations and were willing to talk with me about where they might be. So I was able to find them. They were so willing and eager to share their stories that we engaged in a research project. I travel across the country in some cases, but in others, some like Dr. Kenneth Jones had just returned to Arkansas in time for me to find them.
Well, Dr. Kenneth Jones, you helped desegregate Westside Junior High School. Tell me how you came to be in that position.
Well, at the time I was 12 years old, and I wasn't exactly sure why all of this was coming about. But my parents were contacted about the possibility of my attending Westside. They reviewed my academics. They looked at that time, they looked at your conduct. We had a grade for that. And we decided that it would be a good thing to travel this road and continue with the second part of the desegregation process.
And you had seen, obviously, I guess, the Central High School desegregation. Did that play any thought in your decision?
It did. Believe it or not, even at 12, I was aware of what was going on. I had spoken with my parents about it. It's something that we talked about around dinner. Ernest Green, Jefferson Thomas, they were friends of the family. I have an older brother. He was closer to them, but they were people that frequented my home. I went to theirs. So I was totally aware of what was going on. And it was a very conscious decision. And we knew that we would be, the students and my parents and I, we knew that this decision would contribute to the continuing desegregation of the schools in the Little Rock area. So it was a fairly easy decision.
Yeah. And Dr. Bell-Tolliver, you wrote that it really wasn't your decision. Tell me how.
That's absolutely correct. And Dr. Jones was one of those few who actually knew some of the things that had occurred prior to the desegregation of the high school, and then later on the desegregation of the junior high school. And that's called phase two. Phase one was the desegregation of the high school part of it. Phase two is the junior high schools. But I had no idea. My parents, later on when I was an adult, told me that they thought that they were doing the right thing in terms of finding the best education opportunity for me. But it was basically their decision. They were pretty authoritarian, as opposed to Dr. Jones' family. And they made a decision, as my sister, who also desegregated a school, said, and we followed that decision.
Yeah. Well, what was it like for either of you? We've heard the stories, you know, about what the Little Rock Nine went through, but it sounds from the book like things hadn't really progressed any in those following years.
Well, it was a completely new situation. I feel like we were in junior high school re-walking, say, the paths that the Little Rock Nine did in the high school. We were just doing it at a younger age at a different school. So things hadn't really changed that much. You could tell some of the teachers who did not want you there, but you also could tell the ones who did and were very helpful. You could tell that many of the students did not want you there. I mean, literally, some of us had to fight our way through the school during the day. So things hadn't really changed that much at that level. But I think that by desegregating the junior high schools and beginning to introduce that level of diversity at a younger age, as things began to progress, for those who came after us, it became much easier. But had they really changed at the junior high school level because of the Little Rock Nine or what happened at Central High School, I don't think so.
Dr. Bell Tolliver, anything stick out to you about your experiences?
Well, one of the things I wanted to mention, Dr. Jones' story and my story are different and they're similar. They're different in that I was the only person in my junior high school. And also, this group of people were fairly wealthy. Their parents were doctors, attorneys, owners of the stores that they visited. Many times there was not as much aggression. And I think the aggression happened more towards the males, but
yes,
not always. Occasionally I was pushed down, I didn't have to fight except for maybe one time. But at any rate, most of the time I was ignored. And that being ignored was very challenging to me. That was a difficult process. There were one or two teachers that showed kindness, perhaps by allowing people to engage in certain behaviors, but most of the time the teachers tended to ignore me as well.
There's a big age difference between, while it's just a few years in age, a big difference in the level of maturity between junior high school students and high school students who are almost adults. I imagine during that kind of formative years when you're feeling a lot more peer pressure, it must have been different from, say, what the Little Rock Nine went through.
And I would think, as you said, it seems as though they're not that many years, but when you think from the perspective of an 11 or 12-year-old, going into school. That is a huge difference. And as you said, developmentally, most of the time, many children want to be accepted. They want to be praised for achieving or accomplishing something. They want to be acknowledged by adults and commended if they have done certain types of things. And that doesn't happen or didn't happen to some of the people that were in the schools that I interviewed. It happened for Dr. Jones in some cases, right?
Yes. One of the differences is we had approximately 10 students going to Westside, where Dr. Bill Tolliver was alone. So we had a built-in support mechanism. And also with our families, some of our families lived close together. And so we could study together. We would go to school together. Some of our fathers would take turns driving us to school and back. So we had that level of support mechanisms that helped us. In terms of the maturity issue, the age differences, you know, when Ernest Green went to Central High School, he was a senior. And so he was approximately 18. Mm-hmm. And many of us were 11 and 12, you know, maybe 13. So there was a big difference. I know that just for me personally, I was telling Dr. Bill Tolliver, it was quite an experience, but I don't feel bad about it. I entered that situation individually with something to prove. So the acceptance I received from my parents and from other peers, not from the people at that school. You know, I kind of stepped out there and wanted to show people something. And so it affected me in a different way, but not necessarily negatively.
And I should note the five previously all-white schools were Eastside, Forest Heights, Pulaski Heights, Southwest, and Westside. Dr. Bell Tolliver, any resistance from any of these folks? You know, you write that it was there was a degree of people repressed some memories. Was there a hesitation to bring this all back by the people that you spoke with?
Well, I could not get one interview that I really hoped to get. And so there's a possibility of some reluctance on that end, even though the person initially appeared to be excited. So I won't mention that name. But there were others who, as you mentioned, repressed a lot of information. And sometimes as we continued the interview, that person would recall something and would be able to share that. But it was challenging in that for several of them, the trauma is still there. While some people had a more successful experience, others did call it traumatic. And one of my relatives, who also is in education, had to let me know, and I'm a clinician, I'm a therapist, but she had to let me know what you experienced was traumatic. So others of us are still in that healing process, and I think the book has been a helpful part for that.
Finally, what do you hope this book accomplishes?
Well, number one, I think, as you mentioned, many, many people know about phase one. Phase two, as I said, is the junior high school. Phase three was the elementary school desegregation process. So it will raise awareness that it wasn't just a one-time incident. And there are other levels of that desegregation that continue, I imagine, even until now. And the second thing that I would like for this book to do is to help others to consider parents, what teachers, what communicators, the community members need to do. If there are children that are engaged in being the one or the only or the minority, because that happens every day, whether it's a bullying incident or whether they're just treading different waters than other people. And so I would like for them to have some idea about how to prepare their children for something like that, because children need to have the opportunity to have the support to process what's going on and to give feedback when things to receive feedback and to give feedback when things are going too challenging for them in such a difficult manner.
And if I might add, that issue of support, and I believe that my experiences may have been somewhat different because I had that level of support at home and in my church. We debriefed, we talked about it, not only with just my parents and my brother, but other parents and other students. And so I'm hoping that when people look at this, regardless of why you are a minority or why you are in a situation where you're being bullied or whatever, that parents and others need to look at how you support children. That's the important thing.
Absolutely.
Well, the book is called The First 25, An Oral History of the Desegregation of Little Rock's Public Junior High Schools. The first in a series of events marking the release of the book will take place this Saturday, and listeners can find a full list of events at KUAR.org. Dr. Laverne Bell Tolliver, editor and one of the 25, and Dr. Kenneth Jones, another of the 25, thank you both for coming by to talk with me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for the invitation.
This is KUAR 89.1.